Gene Richards, Sunday morning, 11:32. This is kind of the theme song for the new Spike Lee movie, which is called The Five Bloods. It's a Vietnam veterans movie, so the music in this film really takes you back to that era, like this Chambers Brothers song, Time Has Come Today. It is the story of four Vietnam veterans. They happen to be African American, and they made a vow when they were in Vietnam with a fifth soldier, their unit commander, who was killed in action, that they would one day return to Vietnam, find his remains, and return the remains to his family in the United States. Just so happens that these five bloods, name of the movie, also, while they were in the jungles of Vietnam, came across a chest, a metal chest, full of gold bars. And they decided that they would bury this gold treasure that they found and one day return to Vietnam to retrieve the gold bars and distribute the gold bars for the black communities where they live, because they had felt that they had been mistreated in the service. They had felt that African-American soldiers were disproportionately being put on the front lines. They felt the inequities that African-American people feel on the streets of the United States. So while this story is a Vietnam veteran story and the retrieval of the remains of their fallen soldier, the story is also about trying to get this gold back. But it becomes a very timely story because of all that's going on in the world right now and the treatment of African-American people. Those are the things that I talked about with the cast of this movie. That includes some very, very distinguished African-American actors, Clark Peters and Norm Lewis and Isaiah Whitlock Jr., who we will hear from in just a moment. The great Delroy Lindo. If there is an Academy Awards this year, I would be shocked if Delroy Lindo did not get an Academy Award for his performance in this movie. His performance is simply stunning. There's a young actor by the name of Jonathan Majors who plays Delroy Lindo's son in the film as well, which, you know, kind of plays into the stories that we have heard from African-American people, that they're scared. You know, the elders are saying they've spent a lifetime being scared of being out on the street and wondering if they're going to come home okay, but they're even more scared if their sons go out onto the streets, whether or not they are going to return. I talked with them. You'll hear that in a minute. But also I talked with the Academy Award-winning co-writer of this film and director of The Five Bloods, Spike Lee. Can we start off just talking about the timeliness of a movie like this as streets all over America are on fire and impassioned?
I mean, when this corona hit, the world changed and plans were changed. Originally, I was going to be the president of the jury in Cannes, and the world premiere of The Five Bloods was going to be in Cannes out of competition. And shortly after that, we have a theatrical run before we go to Netflix. But plans changed and adjustments were made.
And can you talk about the timeliness of a movie like this that talks about the inequities that African-American GIs felt and African-Americans in general feel as everything that's going on in the news right now?
Well, that's been going on for 401 years, so you can put it out any time, it's going to be timely.
Why did you decide to go back to Vietnam and tell stories that had never been told before?
Well, the Vietnam War, sir, was the first war that's televised into American homes. So 1967, I was 10 years old. So I was old enough to be aware of what's happening, but young enough not to be drafted. And growing up, my late brother and I, Chris, we always used to watch World War II films, black and white World War II films on TV. And we loved those films. My father would tell us, you know, you say, sons, you know, black people fought in those wars too. So I did that already, World War II, with my film Miracle St. Anna. And now I'm doing onto the Vietnam War.
And you actually shot this in Vietnam, if I'm
not. Yeah, both were shot in Thailand, and we ended in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh City, formerly known as Saigon, Vietnam.
Spike, I wanted to ask you, you know, we've heard so many stories of African-American people being mistreated by police. I wonder if that happens at a level when you, you know, get to a point of fame and recognition as you are. Do you still experience things like that? Have you experienced things like that?
Sir, there is, thank you for the question. See this? No guarantees. No guarantees that someone's not going to know who Spike Lee is. So that is the, sadly, you know, that's the life that the black men live in this country, because you never know. And that is why black mothers and fathers, every time their child leaves the house, they say a prayer and hope they'll return. This is not like fantasy. This is real life for people of color in this country.
Are you hopeful that we will come to some kind of resolution or take some steps forward in this problem that is hundreds of years old?
Ask me that question again on November 4th. First of all, even before with this pandemic, I'm taking it day by day. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I definitely can't. It's not going to place a bet on a presidential election November 3rd.
Spike, I really enjoyed the movie. Thank you very much for that. And the short film that you put out earlier this week that juxtaposed Do the Right Thing with
Raid Raheem.
Yeah. You know, that how much things have not changed all these years. I literally was in tears watching that. So thank you for all that you do. It was amazing.
Yeah. Do the Right Thing was 31 years ago. And, you know, same stuff is happening.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Good to see you. We'll hope we'll see you soon. Thank you.
AC after Corona.
Oscar winner Spike Lee talking with us one-on-one about his new movie, The Young Bloods. I'll tell you more about the movie and what I thought about the movie in a couple of minutes. I want to play these interviews for you first. When I had asked him if he had been the victim of discrimination, of violence, of mistreatment, and he said, hey, look at this. What he was doing was he held his hand up to the Zoom camera, and he was showing me his hand and rubbing his finger on his other hand, showing me his skin complexion, saying, look at this. You never know. He says, I'm a black man. You never know. That's the visual part of that you couldn't see. Let's do another set of the interviews. The co-stars in the movie are Clark Peters, Norm Lewis, and Isaiah Whitlock Jr. Very instantly recognizable faces. They've been in so many movies and television shows. They are acclaimed on stage. Three very revered actors who play three of the Vietnam veterans featured in this movie.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I'm glad that we shot all of those tough physical scenes in the beginning, because it was exhausting. We were up at 4 and sometimes not home until really late at night. And this was a daily process. And there's a lot of hills and terrain, and we're running up and down with guns and shooting. And then I had to be pigeon-toed. So, yeah, it was tough. But I'm in a Spike Lee joint, so whatever you want, Spike.
Yeah, well, Clark, talk to me about that. I mean, what is the Spike Lee experience like?
The Spike Lee experience is probably the way all filming should be done, right? Number one, it's economical. Number two, when you get on the set, he knows what he wants to do, and you ought to be ready to do it. I'm tired of getting on sets and sitting back and waiting for a director to figure out where they want to do the shot or whatever, and wasting all that time and money. You know, number three, it's always a wonderful challenge because you want to meet his criterion for making a great film. And so you come there prepared, you're sometimes over-prepared, but then it ain't theater, you know? So what can I say?
Yeah, better to be over-prepared, I guess, right?
Yes.
Isaiah, talk to me a little bit about what you hope people will take from this movie, especially with what's going on in streets all over America. This film could not be more timely and poignant right now.
I hope the one thing I want them to take away from this film is that a bit of an education. They can learn a little bit about African-Americans in the Vietnam War, put this together with a lot of the Black history moments that we have in the film, put those on top of what is happening today, because we begin to see that we haven't really moved the dial that much. We're dealing with a 400-year history, and we're not going to do this overnight. So I hope that they're able to look at this film and see that, you know, this is not what's happening today. It's not just today. This has been going on for quite some time.
I wonder if all three of you could talk a little bit about your own experiences relating to what people are protesting about and the outrage and the emotion that's out in the street right now. And if you've also experienced the kind of discrimination and treatment that a lot of people say that they are feeling when they try to go about their day-to-day lives.
I mean, it's vast. I mean, there's so many that I can give you, but one being stopped in a Target before I left. I had my bag and I had my receipt, but I still got stopped and I had to face the wall and put my arms on the wall and get patted down in front of all these people, which was humiliating. And I just didn't understand that because I showed him my receipt, I showed him my bag, but he still persisted. There's so many different layers. I can give you many. Go ahead, Clark, if you want to say something.
No, I was just in light of George Floyd. First of all, for the following 48 hours, anytime anyone talked about it, I would feel this overwhelming tide of tears and sorrow coming up that I guess I have kept down for so long. But I'm calling, we're speaking from London. What is encouraging is to see people in London out in the streets for the same cause. The solidarity is the only thing that I think is bolstering me from collapsing into myself right about now. You know, and it's not just here. I have a niece who lives in Paris, and it was over there. So, you know, it's a tipping point, you know. So, but as far as reacting to it, I'm fine. You know, it just hurts too damn much. That's all.
Yeah, I understand. Isaiah, maybe you know, is it hopeful that things are changing and that it's worldwide, and you know, we're talking about this like we've never talked about it before.
Yes, and I think the key word is hopeful. I hope that come November that people go to the polls with the same amount of passion that they're marching in the streets. I mean, if you really want to make some change, now is the time to do it. And now is the time to have a dialogue. Now is the time to understand what a lot of African-Americans and people of color have gone through. We need to seize that opportunity to start talking about what is happening. And when you talk about racism and systemic racism, I mean, I could be here all day saying, well, this happened to me, this happened to me. And these are things that I've had to learn to live with because, you know, you're not going to be mad and pissed off 24 hours a day, even though you easily could be. But hopeful is word. And I hope that people really seize upon this moment in time to make some serious change.
Yeah, that's my prayer too. Gentlemen, it's an honor to talk to all of you. I've been fans of all of yours forever. And I really enjoyed you all in this movie. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great day wherever in the world you are.
Thank you.
Clark Peters, Norm Lewis, Isaiah Whitlock Jr., three of the cast members of Spike Lee's new movie, The Young Bloods, that drops on Netflix next Friday. I'll tell you more about the movie in a minute. And also, the actor who I would be shocked if he did not get an Academy Award nomination for his performance in this movie. The movie has a couple of problems. Overall, I liked it. This particular performance is one of the most moving I've seen in a long time. And among the actors that we talked to in the film were Delroy Lindo, who is another very, very acclaimed motion picture performer, television, Broadway. He's an amazing actor, and even more amazing in this film with his performance in the movie. He is teamed up in this interview with a young actor by the name of Jonathan Majors. And I talked with Delroy. I started off talking with Delroy about this movie that remembers veterans, especially Vietnam veterans, and remembers African-American veterans, especially African-American veterans who fought in Vietnam, and the correlation with world events going on today.
Yes, and yes. It's uncanny that there are elements in this film that are proving to be completely contemporary. And while we had no way of knowing that over a year ago when we were in Thailand and Vietnam making this film, it speaks to a couple of things. It speaks to the extent to which Spike Lee as a storyteller has his finger on the pulse of this culture. It also speaks, he may not always get it right, but he's in tune, and as a storyteller, as a creative worker, positioning himself inside this culture in order to tell stories to and about the culture and feed it back to all of us. Mm-hmm. In this instance, it has proven to be uncannily and scarily contemporary. But I think that comes out of his effort as a filmmaker to be, and as a storyteller, to be relevant and to tell stories that are relevant. And of course, this story is now proving to be much more relevant than any of us could have ever imagined.
Jonathan, what do you hope the message is out of this? I mean, it's a story about Vietnam and how we completely ignored veterans, how we completely ignored, in particular, African-American veterans. But I mean, the movie has so many different messages. What do you hope the takeaway is?
I hope the takeaway is that love, you know, love and understanding, you know, to love one another and to understand one another, and then chiefly to accept one another is deeply healing. I think we watch our hero, Paul, we watch him understand what has happened. And then we finally see him accept what has happened. And then from the acceptance comes healing. We can't hide from what we have a country have done to other people of the country. We can't hide from that. We have to see it, we have to understand it, and then we have to accept it. And then we have to change, you know? And once that's happened, things get better. You know, we move forward. We actually become one. We become united. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. Delroy, I wonder if you can relate to what a lot of the people who are out in the streets protesting about, if you've had experiences, even at your level. I mean, you're a pretty well-known person, very, very visible. People know your name. I wonder if you also experience the kind of moments of prejudice and
violation,
inequities that people are protesting about.
The short answer is yes, because in the final analysis, I'm a Black man, and Black men in certain instances get treated and responded to a certain way. I am not only a Black man, I'm a big Black man. I am not only a big Black man, I'm a big dark Black man. So there are aspects of me walking through the world, whether or not I am a celebrity has, I'm not gonna say it has nothing to do with it, but there are instances in which that does not amount to a hill of beans, because there are people who will look at me and only see my blackness. Mm-hmm. I want to say one other thing. I'm a parent. I'm a parent of an 18-year-old African-American man-child, soon to be 19-year-old. So I experience fear and anxiety every time he walks out the front door. Mm. Every time he walks out the front door. And the tightrope walk, the tension becomes, on the one hand, acknowledging that, but on the other hand, living my life and having him live his life without fear, but with the awareness that he as a young black man can be a target at any moment. So I experience it for myself in terms of the experiences I have had and the violations I've experienced because I'm black, a black male, and also currently because I'm the parent to a soon to be 19-year-old African-American man child.
Really well put. Wow. I don't know what you're doing during your social quarantining, your shut-in time during this pandemic, but I hope you are practicing some kind of Oscar acceptance speech because your performance in this movie is absolutely stunning. Congratulations on an amazing movie and both of you, amazing performances.
Thank you very much. Really, really appreciate that. God bless. Thank you.
God bless you guys too. Thank you so much. Jonathan, thank you.
And I'm not practicing an Oscar speech because I don't want to set myself up, but thank you.
But it's plant that. I just wanted to plant that seed somewhere in there.
Yeah, those actors can be very, very superstitious about that when I ask that question. It is Delroy Lindo. I'd be shocked if he didn't get an Oscar nomination, depending on if there will be an Oscars this year. We'll see what's going to happen. But that's Delroy Lindo talking about the situation in the world right now, his 19-year-old son, and the young actor, Jonathan Majors, who plays his son in this new movie, The Young Bloods, that is directed and co-written by Spike Lee. It drops on Netflix next Friday. I'm going to wind up giving it a Dean's List B. I like the movie. There are definitely some problems with it. Number one being it's way too long. It's over 2.5 hours long. Spike Lee is kind of famous for not knowing where to trim things down. He wanted to include so much, but sometimes less is more. More often than not, less is more. And I think that his point could have been told more effectively had he trimmed some of the fat out of the movie. That's my biggest problem with the film. It's very interesting. It addresses a side of veterans in Vietnam that very infrequently gets addressed in movies. While they were not in Vietnam themselves, they had plenty of people who were the technical advisors on this film. So I have to assume that it's pretty accurate. Anyway, the movie is called Da Five Bloods. Spike Lee and the cast for you. I'm going to show you all those interviews tomorrow morning.